Songs.
Yes.
These sisters, they sit up here and sing and play just with such confidence and so relaxed looking, and I'm like, I don't know how they do it. So, but I just really love what I see, especially our young people serving the Lord. And there's a lot of places they could be,
yeah,
doing something different.
Sure.
So glad the Lord has been merciful and kind to them. I know that He's glorified greatly in them using their gifts for Him. Amen. We'll open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. These are scriptures we probably know by heart, but they just happen to be scriptures that under our bride's message has really come to a great understanding for us, and so they mean a lot to us. A few weeks ago, before the first of the year, I did a talk one night, preached about positional placing, so we're going to call this part two, positional placing part two, and I'll just give you a subtitle, Into Him. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he do it? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them which have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the Lord and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our hearts. Lord, as we come to this portion of the service, we just give it to you. Lord, we're here just to give praise and honor to you and just to ask God that you use us tonight. And so, Lord, as we know that there is no one like you, you're the only one that deserves the praise, honor, and glory. And so tonight, that's what we want to do. We just want to give our heart's attention to you and ask God that you come speak to your children tonight. We love you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Positional placing. Wanted to just read a little bit of a quote real quick out of Taking Sides with Jesus. How many knows that's what we should do?
Yeah.
No matter what happens, we should take sides with Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. And so, Brother Brandon was speaking there, and he's talking about people going into your room and go into your rooms and hide out somewhere and just kneel down and just stay before God and stay there. And that's what we should do.
Yeah.
Stay there. He said, then if you find out and look like something's moving up, and oh, you're just going, and you find out it gets a little bit off the word, then be careful. No matter how good it looks, stop right there. A wrong spirit has struck you. That's what he's telling me. These are brothers, ministers he's talking to there. And so he says, if it gets off the word, then a wrong spirit has struck you. And here's what I want. Here's what I'm wanting to leave with you here. He said, "Cause the message of this day is to the Word."
Right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The message of this day is to the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Positional placing. You know, so in reading that, there's something that is always that sticks out to me, and in that the scripture said that we no longer be tossed to and fro. And so I asked the question, you know, and here in the scripture is saying, you know, that we would grow up into him and so forth. And so was Jesus tossed to and fro? Not at all. And so I just thinking on these things, you know, we are people, we watch people, we're fruit inspectors, you watch people, you watch how they act, you watch what they say, what they do, Christian people, non-Christian people, that's just, you know, maybe I'm the only one like that, but I do. Yeah. When I'm in an airport or wherever, I watch people.
Right.
And so you watch people in message churches, people that's been around message churches, you watch them, and you look, because we know that our lives is to this word,
right.
Should be to this word.
Yes.
God has done something in our day that all the ages long for.
Yeah.
Everything that he had all through the ages, we've come to the culmination of that right now. That's why the scripture said, rejoice because the marriage of the Lamb has come. He's found this wife that's worthy, and she's been arrayed, and so all these ages, God has done something now that all the ages look for. Mm-hmm. And so if this word that God has brought, because you know what we have hasn't always been here. God has revealed things in this day that was, as we will see here, was a mystery that was hid there. And God has revealed that to us now in this day. And brother and sister, if we don't let this word change us, what about it?
Yeah.
If there's not, it's like when I was over in Finland, you know, they have a transit system, and I'd have to catch a train to go to work every day and catch it to come home. And you know, they'd tell you what time that train was going to be there. Mm-hmm. And brother, sister, it would show up on, I mean, within just 2 or 3 seconds, literally.
Yeah.
And it would leave. You had to be there. If you wanted to catch that thing, you had to be there on time. And because if you didn't get on, you were left.
Yeah.
And God has sent a word in this day to change us. He has sent a word today to do something that all the ages wish they could have had.
Right.
He's done it. Mm-hmm. Brother Bram said people make a mistake of looking at what God's going to do or what he did do and missing what he's doing. And I'm telling you right now, the move is on. God is moving with this message. We are in rapture cycle.
Right.
No doubt about it. And as Brother Daniel mentioned back there, you know, a squeeze.
Yeah.
We're in a squeeze.
Right.
Right? And I'm going to tell you something. You know, as the sister was having a little trouble today with her vehicles and stuff like that, and I got to thinking, you know, don't expect the world someday to wake up and start treating you better.
Yeah.
They're not.
Right.
Don't expect the business world to start getting their wits about them again and starting to, you know, to lighten up. No, they, as I said the other day, they can only draw from the well that they're drinking from.
That's right.
And that well that they're drinking from has brought them to the chaos that they're in, and they're still drinking from it. And all they can do is just continue to pour out the same nonsense.
Yeah.
And that nonsense, this whole world, is squeezing us.
Yes.
Right. Right? And I know if there's a religious squeeze, that's happening too.
Yeah.
And so just always remember, you know, it's like squeeze enough, and then sooner or later it's going to pop out. You know, the Lord's going to get us out of here. But if this word doesn't change us, there's not another message coming along the Gentiles that's going to change us.
Right. Right.
This is it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, God has sent this word to do a thing in our lives, and we've got to let it do it.
Yeah.
We've got to come to the place where we are no longer tossed to and fro.
Right.
Now, we read the scriptures there. It said he had put in the church the fivefold ministry. Prophets, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, until we grow up into the full measure of the stature of Christ. And as I've said before, if he's this tall and we're just here, we're not there yet. But until we grow up, until this That we, the members of the bride, the body of Christ on earth, till we become the fullness of God in body form. Right? Because remember, what God was, he poured into Christ.
Right.
And what Christ was, he poured into his church.
Right?
Right? We are the body of Christ. And though he had the Spirit without measure, the fullness dwell in him, but now he lives in a church worldwide. And so we all have a portion of him in us.
Yeah.
And so we know that and believe that. But he has sent these things in this day to change us and to grow up into him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? To grow up into him, to the fullness. And so we need to be, as the scripture said, to be no longer children, tossed to and fro, you know, just by every wind of doctrine, every little thing that comes along, it upsets us.
Yeah.
Right? Every little wind of doctrine, it said wind of doctrine, but it can be whatever. So because Jesus wasn't tossed to and fro,
right,
they might have been whipping him and doing all the things, but he wasn't tossed to and fro.
Right.
He was the Word made flesh, and he was fulfilling every bit of the Word that he was to be.
Right?
Right? And we are called to grow up into that.
Right.
We are called to grow up into the place where we're no longer tossed to and fro.
Yeah.
Where the winds of doctrine don't bother us.
Right.
Brother Barnes tells us that when we discern the two spirits within the framework of the church, and by God's Spirit withstand that other spirit, which is the religious spirit, then we become an invincible army. In other words, we've grown up.
Yeah.
We've grown up into the place where we are equal with Christ, because he said he put these ministries here until this happens. And then once we, by speaking the truth in love, we grow up into him in all things. And so during those times, if you grow up into him, then we'll stop reverting back to our carnal nature. We'll stop reverting back to our emotions. Emotions are fine as long as they agree with the Word, but the problem is most of the time when you get all emotional, it gets off the Word.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
But we'll stop reverting back to our own thoughts, our own thinking. We'll stop reverting back to denominational teaching that we've had in the past. Stop, because the denominational teaching is anointed of the devil.
Right.
That's right. If it's contrary to the Word, then Satan's anointing is upon it. So he wants us, through these things that we're talking about, to grow up into the place where we're not tossed to and fro anymore. In other words, the devil can try his tactics and it don't work anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Now, you know, you may say, well, Brother Tony, that sounds like a hard thing to do, but what I read in the Bible is that this is where God is taking us.
Yeah.
That we are to be, you know, like they say, what would Jesus do? WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, I tell you what, he wouldn't be tossed to and fro.
Right.
And so the promise is that we are to grow up into that full stature of Jesus Christ. And so that means that these tactics and these things we fall for, and every time Satan comes our way, we quit falling for it. We quit feeling like we're defeated. There's plenty of times when you go through trials, but at some point you get to the place where you realize that's just because of who you are. You're a child of God, and these things come, and that's just the way it is.
Right.
Because you're part of the family of God.
Right?
Right? And so you begin to realize that because, like Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Right.
And we come to this place in our walk with God till we realize that all that he foreknew, he predestinated, and those he predestinated, he called, and those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified.
Right.
And you find out, you begin to grow up to such a place where you realize that all those things I just quoted that Paul was talking about in Romans 8 is in you.
That's right.
Yeah.
You begin to realize, listen, if God didn't have his hand on your life, you wouldn't be here tonight.
Right.
You wouldn't be believing the word that you believe. And so you're growing up and you're becoming beneficiaries of this message that God has sent to do this,
mm-hmm,
to bring us into this full measure of the stature of Christ. And now we're getting to the place where we begin to realize why things happen the way they do, and it's getting to the place where it doesn't faze you like it used to.
Right.
So that all these lies and these tricks of the devil, you can just look at him and say, boo, devil.
Yeah.
You're barking up the wrong tree.
That's right.
And that's what you come to the place where you begin to realize that. And you realize that the Word of God is in you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you also can see that the way the Word and the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, it's bringing a character in you more like Christ.
That's right.
Because like I said the other day, when you know, Brother Rand talked about the hand and the shadow. When we, the closer we get to body change, the more like Him we have to be.
Right.
Now I've always, you know, when Brother Rand talked about it, saying that the ministry here at the end time would have to be so much like Christ, right?
Yeah.
Till it'll make Christ and His church become one. And I've always thought of that, well, about the messengers, and then Brother Branham come along, and he had a ministry so much like Christ that Christ could come. But brother, sister, that's talking about us too.
Right. Yeah.
That's talking about us. We are to be growing.
Amen.
We are to be growing in the Lord,
yeah,
getting stronger. We are to be growing up.
Amen.
Not just stagnant.
Right.
But growing up into the Lord.
Yes.
So that His attributes are working more and more through us each time.
That's right.
Brother Graham tells us that we have five inlets. We have the five senses of touch, taste, see, smell, and hear. And it's through this that we contact this world. Mm-hmm. I can feel this book. I use my senses to feel it, to look at it. I can even smell it if I want to, whatever. But you use your senses to contact this world, this tangible world. But Brother Graham said in the spirit realm, you have five inlets for the spirit. And through those five inlets is how you contact the spirit realm. And he said it was imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection.
Right.
Right? And so we don't war against flesh and blood. Right? It's not through these senses, right?
Yeah.
But we fight a spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And that spiritual warfare is where Satan hits you in your imagination, or in your conscience, your memory, reason, and affections.
Yeah.
So when you're going along and all of a sudden you feel bad, maybe you have a stomach ache or you have a pain in your side or something. I've had pains in my side before, and you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
Uh-huh.
You know what? And the first thing the devil tells you, guess what? When you have a pain that shouldn't be there, man, he jumps up there and goes to talking.
Sure.
So now he's speaking to you in that spirit realm, trying to get you to your imagination to run wild. Oh, it's probably cancer.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he does?
Right.
Right? That's him speaking to you through that channel. And so you're fighting this warfare. He'll come to you and say, you remember what you did?
Mm-hmm.
And you think God's going to forgive you?
Uh-huh.
So now he's working with your memory. Right? And he's beginning to reason with you like he did with Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if he can make you have an evil affection, inordinate affection for something that you shouldn't have or whatever. See? And so this is a spiritual battle that working through those things. And so to me, you know, Jesus fought those battles. Satan came to him and said, you know, hey, you know, cast yourself down or make these stones into bread or whatever. Jesus had to deal with that. But you know what? He wasn't tossed to and fro.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He said, Satan, it's written.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Get behind me. We'll only worship God.
Yeah.
That's what. And so when these things happen to us, we are to grow up into that.
Right.
We are to grow up into this place. When he comes at you and says stuff, you know what? You've got a pain. You're sick. By his stripes, I'm healed. Right? You use the word back. Brother Ram said Jesus could have smote Satan any way he wanted to, but to show us that you can defeat the devil any day, any time, he used the word. Just simply used the word, and the devil had to leave him.
Yeah.
Now, there was three times the devil was sitting there striking, and you may use the word on the devil when he comes at you, and he might come right back, but you just keep using that word. Because the scripture says if you'll resist the devil steadfast,
right,
he will flee from you. His seed running from you.
That's right.
Because he knows he can't defeat that word.
That's right.
We all know this.
Right.
We've heard it for years. He cannot defeat that word, and that we spend so much time thinking and talking and acting something different than this word that God has so wonderfully brought to us.
Amen.
He's brought this to us for a reason.
Right.
And so we're in this stage where we are growing up into the full measure of Christ so that we are no longer tossed to and fro.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah.
So Satan won't be able to use these inlets like that.
Right.
And so, you know, we've heard it said many times, I think Brother Daniel said it recently, that God doesn't have grandchildren.
Right.
And you think about that. Mm-hmm. And what that's saying is that if I, you know, for me to have the Holy Ghost have a real born-again experience, but my children aren't going to get in just because I am.
Right.
They have to have a new birth themselves. You do.
Yeah.
Right? Your children cannot get in on your coattail.
Right.
They might be in your house and live with everything, but they've got to have a birth.
Amen.
And if they don't, and so here's the thing, if you're just serving God, coming to church or whatever, by tradition, then you're no more than a grandchild.
Right.
But if you have a birth, if you're serving God because there's something in you that's been born of God, and that's why you serve Him. That's why you live for Him and do the things that you do.
Yeah.
You're not a grandchild. You're a child. You're a son. You're a daughter.
Yeah.
And so He doesn't have grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
We want to serve Him. We don't want to think about these things. Because Satan works through all those realms. And if he can get us to serving God just by tradition.
Yeah.
Even as a Christian. With the Holy Ghost, if He can get you in just a tradition,
mm-hmm,
where the fire of God is not burning in your heart like it should be,
right?
That's what He'll do.
Sure.
Right? He'll do that. And so, you know, the scripture said we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil, right? We're not. And surely at this hour when we're growing up into Him, into the full measure of the stature of Christ, surely then these things, we'll begin to recognize this and say, you know, that's nothing but the devil. That's just the devil talking to me, telling me these things.
Yeah.
Now listen, brother, sister, we are a body here,
mm-hmm,
but we're also part of a worldwide body of Christ.
Right.
And so, you know, we hear things. We live in an hour where we can know about trials and things that go on. We hear prayer requests and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we pay attention, you'll see how the devil works, and you'll see that God's got children out there. They have testimonies. They overcome in different ways. And if you pay attention to those things, you'll realize this thing's stepping up.
Yeah.
This whole end time message is beginning to really shape up in His people, because God's got a people that's going to be really going to be, you know, not too tossed to and fro.
Right.
I'm thinking about Brother Ron Spencer, you know, his testimony and the things he's went through, and he's been such an example of how that Satan would come at somebody and strike them, and he would overcome.
Yeah.
And overcome. And he still has this overcoming testimony. And,
yeah,
and if we just look at that and see, listen, God has testimonies in this world that you can look at that, and they are proof that this word works.
Right.
Even if you you take him and you say, well, why didn't God heal him just completely? Well, God has.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He has many times. And so, but there's things for us to glean from our testimonies and from things like that. And if you'll pay attention, you'll realize things are moving and stepping up. We believe that. And so, Brother M tells us that the book of Ephesians parallels Joshua.
Yeah.
Now, he said that. You didn't hear that in some Baptist church or Methodist church or Catholic, wherever. The prophet told us that because he wants us to understand that as we talked about how that Joshua took the children of Israel into the promised land, and he gave to them each of their spots, each of those children. Here's what Brother M tells, and you read it in the Bible,
mm-hmm,
that when them women gave birth to those 12 patriarchs,
yeah,
that in their pain of delivering, they would speak the name. And you realize there's an anointing, that goes with that name.
Right.
And when they would speak, and that name that woman spoke when she was giving birth to that child, that name placed that child where it would be in the promised land.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? And Brother Graham comes along and hope people need to start listening to this message and what it's saying. Brother Graham come along and said that there were names that couldn't be spoken until this day.
Right?
Right? The inspiration that would come for those names, because a name means something. And so I hope, he said, you know, if your child, you got a child named Ricky or Elvis, change that child's name.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's a nature that goes with it.
Right?
Right? Yeah. People need to think about that. If you, young people, you're going to have children, you need to pray about the name that you give that child.
Right. Yeah.
This is what these things are there for, to tell us about these things.
Right.
And so those 12 patriarchs, they had a place to be in that land. And so years later on, when it come time for them to go into that promise, Joshua placed them, and he took Ephraim and put Ephraim in his predestinated location, and Manasseh's in his, or Judah in his. See, so Joshua, you know, you just think of the wisdom of God in him, that Joshua, he didn't take Ephraim and place him in Manasseh's land. He took Ephraim and put him in Ephraim's land.
Right.
So there's a certain wisdom that goes with Joshua there for the placing. And Brother Ben said the book of Ephesians parallels Joshua for positionally placing. And so there's a supernatural presence of God in his word that as these things work in us, God will take us and put us exactly in the predestinated position in the body of Christ where we belong, positioned in the Holy Ghost, right where we belong, not somewhere else. So as we grow up into him, in the full measure of the stature of the Christ, and we quit being tossed to and fro, we quit trying to be something we're not, we find out who we're supposed to be and how to be that. And so when they were coming into that land, and this book of Ephesians does this for us, first of all, it tells you who you are. You got to understand, you are a child of God. It's not something you hatched up. Brother Ben says, not because the preacher preached it, not because of something you did. These are things he talks about in this sermon. Not that, but because God predestinated you from the foundation of the world. That's why you are who you are. That's why you've got a place in the Holy Ghost, where you can go and you can stand in that spot in the Holy Ghost and never be defeated.
Right. Yeah.
Because God gave it to you.
Yeah.
So you got to get that out of your thinking. Well, I made a mistake, so I don't have it no more. I've lost my promised land. That's the devil talking to your mind,
right,
contrary to the word, because the word doesn't say that.
Right?
Right? And so as we grow up into him, these things have got to, I got to go. All this stuff has got to quit.
Right.
We've got to become the living word, and where these things don't mess with us anymore. Because that's where we're headed. Because remember, death doesn't change you. It just changes your dwelling place.
Right?
Right? I don't, in my current condition right now, I ain't quite there. And I don't want to be changed right now into that. Right? I want to be really appropriate for that dimension. And so I've got some growing to do. Right? And so the first thing is for it to tell you who you are and what belongs to you. Right? What belongs to you. How to take that land. How to take those promises, because they're promises, you had to fight for it. And how to keep it. Because you can have an experience in God, and Satan can come on and wear that down to where it has almost, you know, like Brother Donnie Reagan illustrated years and years ago, is that the life of God in you is so weak, just barely can't do anything. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Satan will do that to you.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? How does he do it? By coming at you through imagination, memory, and all those things, coming through those things, lying to you, getting you to compromise, telling you all kinds of stuff that's not. That's why every time he comes, use the word. Brother Ben said, how do you know? How do you know that it's that it's not of God, or how you know it's of God. He said, if it's contrary to the word, it's not God.
Right.
But if it is, okay.
Yep.
Amen. So, we want to know who we are, what belongs to us, that we can have love, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without, and no bartering. It's mine. It's yours. Mm-hmm. God gave it to you. Now you're willing to fight for it.
Right.
Are you willing to fight for it?
Yeah.
Right? And once you get it, are you willing to fight it? I just now thought of it. I have neighbors on different sides of me, and I'm having property line issues with them because they want to put stuff on my property.
Yeah.
And I move it or take it on, and next thing you know, it's like, you got to fight for what's yours.
Right?
Yeah. Right? And so you have an experience that God said, this is yours, you're predestinated, you can have a life in the Holy Ghost where you're led by the Spirit, God's working through you every day, even if you're just a housewife. God will work through you, and so you've got to say, you know what? It's mine.
Yeah.
It's mine.
Yeah.
And I'm going after it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do whatever it takes till I can get this land, until God is moving into my life like I know this word says it is. And then I'm gonna keep it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what being placed there. And so the scripture says, you know, so that you're never defeated again. Never defeated. Because that's where we're going.
Right.
Right? That's where we're going. And so we gotta know who we are. And we gotta stop. And I know you can't do this yourself, but you have, you know, in pursuing after the Holy Ghost, you can come to what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Stop trying to be something God's not called you to be.
Right?
You know, you got gifts in your life that God has put there and anointed. That's, you know, that's He's put that there and use it for that. Use it for His glory. But we all have to know who we are, where we belong, and how we serve the body. We all have to understand that. And you don't get that. We'll read in just a moment. You do not get that from someone else telling you, or some intellectual teaching, or some school, or some college. You don't get what I'm talking about from anywhere else except from God.
Amen.
It is a mystery, and it is a revelation. And it's a mystery and a revelation to you and you alone, each one.
Right.
Brother Daniel would have a revelation of his position and who he is, and that doesn't do you one bit of good, because you've got to have your revelation.
Amen.
Of where God placed you.
Amen.
And you've got to be willing, if you can look at that and say, God, you say that I can have this. I'm coming after it. I want it. And I'm going to change my habits. I'm going to change what I do until you fill me with your Spirit, and I understand who I am and where I belong and what belongs to me, and I see it operating in my life.
Right.
That's what you have to do. And so when Brother Bam says that the book of Ephesians parallels Joshua, then I take that there are things in that book and things that he talked about in that sermon that helps place me, that helps get me to the place where I'm no longer deceived. Right? It gets me to the place where I'm no longer tossed to and fro. And so, you know, you listen to that sermon, Brother Bam, he starts in and saying, as we said a while ago, that you have to know that God called you.
Right.
So we want to pay attention to these things. And so, as I said a while ago, what good would it do for God to send this message and us not put it to work?
Right.
Not use it. I mean, what are we living by? Got a message here that we know is the vindicated of the Word of God, and don't use it. There's something wrong with that.
That's right.
Right? If people don't do that. And so we read there in 2 Peter, and he said, you know, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. And he says, if you do these things, now think about it, you've got to add to your faith virtue. Add knowledge. Add temperance. We know how the brother talked about those things in the statute for perfect man. And so, but he said, if you do these things, then you'll never fail. We read it. He said, make your calling and election sure. Now listen, you can't pray hard enough to make yourself elect if you're not elect.
Right?
Right? So when he says making your calling, you can't pray hard enough for God to say, okay, I'm going to call you now. You prayed enough. You did enough alms. You did this, you did that. So I'm going to call you now. Right? And you can't make him, okay, you're elect now because you did these things. So when Peter's saying, make your calling and election sure, I don't think he's not saying you can go out here and do something to cause that. But let me put it this way. What he's telling us is to go pin it down.
Yep.
Make your calling. You know, when I say, wind's blowing, maybe try to blow a book off or something like that, you know. And so, make that sure. Put something on it so it don't blow. So make it sure.
Right.
Makes it secure.
Yeah.
Right? And so there is an election. There is a calling. You have it as a child of God. But you've got to come to the place where you don't doubt it. You got to nail it down, pin it down through an experience and say, I know who I am.
Amen.
Make it sure. So that you don't question it anymore. Because this is what we've got to come to this place where we're not tossed about anymore.
Right.
That when a trial comes our way, we don't start thinking the devil's thoughts.
Right?
Right? Because the Word doesn't think the devil's thoughts. The Word is the Word.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. And so, if you do these things, you will never fall, as he said. Mm-hmm. So, we want to become no longer children. No longer tossed to and fro. He says, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things. So, there's something else that's going on here. It's not just knowing who you are, but there's a character. There's a nature that we're talking about coming to. When you're becoming Christ, there's a character that goes with that. There's a nature that goes with that. It's not just about speaking and denying, you know, telling the devil, but there's it's Christ, all of him.
Right.
It's all of him. And so he says, speaking the truth in love. There's several things I want to point out here. Speaking the truth in love. And so that we may grow up into him in all things.
Yeah.
Not just some things. But all things in Christ. We've got to quit selling ourselves short.
Right.
All things that's in him belong to us.
Right.
Right? The ability for them to pull a beard out and him not to fight back.
Yeah.
That belongs to us, right?
Right.
The ability to speak to a tree that's not brought forth fruit, curse it. You know, all the things, that in all things, grow up into him in all things. Only now, to me, this is my way of looking at this, that only now can we really speak truth, full truth. Because there was a whole lot of the Word of God that was held in a mystery form that's truth, but held there. And now it's been revealed. We've been partakers of that, and this should be working in our experience. And so now we're able to speak truth like never before. But there is a love that must go with that. To become the Word, you have to have the love that's in the Word too, because that's part of his character.
Yeah.
And so by that truth that we're speaking in love, by that environment, we can grow up into him.
Yeah.
Right? We can actually get to this place. So, as I said a while ago, you have to add to your faith these virtues. There's a sense of the Word there saying, you do it. It's not you trying to work out salvation, you know, and work it yourself. He did that for your sake by faith and grace, through faith. But you've got to add to. In other words, fight for it. When you know it's a promised land there, divine nature, as we read, fight for it. And every time the devil comes and lies to you, cast him away. Cast down every thought, every imagination that's contrary to the Word of God. Put it under your feet. That's, Brother Anderson, that's God's tactics, is to cast out. Cast devils. Cast down imagination. Cast down evil things. Right?
Right.
I mean, you're going to have thoughts come through you, but you don't have to let them live there in your brain.
Right.
Cast them away.
Right.
Like I was telling the brothers the other day, you know, that when Satan tries to put a song in my head from you know, maybe you hear it in a store or something like that, if that thing is trying to hit me, and I have no desire, but it's there and it's bugging me, I'll just start singing the gospel song.
Uh-huh.
And usually, "'Twas his blood, his precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross."
Mm-hmm.
That's the song I sing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What? Spiritual warfare.
Right.
Fighting back. Casting that away from you.
Yeah.
And so, when he said, "Add to these virtues," and he said, "If they abound," and I looked up the word that abound, and it means full, filled up, or exceeding some number or measure. So if these things, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, stature of a perfect man, growing up into the fullness of Christ, as we come up with all these virtues and all these character of Christ within us, and it's just so filled up, full, that this becomes all of who you are, the character of Christ. Because that's all of what he was, right? This is what he's speaking of. And so, said, if you will do these things, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be able to have this revelation and to produce fruit with it. And he's telling us here that if we'll fight for these things that belong to us, as part of Christ, that we're to grow up into and become full measure, then we get to the place where you'll never fail, and you will not be barren, you will be fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the placing of sons, we must understand that God predestinated us.
Amen.
And that how these things work, all these things, and take it out of your hands and put it where it, in God's hands where it is. Right? He's the one that did it. He's the one that called us. He's the one that's predestined us. Not anything else. And so, as Brother Ram said, he left you an inheritance, as we read there in Ephesians. We have an inheritance. That means that he's left you something.
Right?
An inheritance. I'm going to read a few quotes. I'm going to try to get done here pretty quick. Might make a very good mileage. In the adoption, number 4, I think it is, Brother Ram says, "The will of God is a mystery, and each man has to seek out the will of God for his or herself." God's mystery. He said, how do you find out? Paul said he didn't confer with man or flesh or blood. He didn't. He went to a school or no seminary. Had nothing to do with it. But it was revealed to him by Jesus Christ, who met him on the road to Damascus in a light like a pillar of fire. And it called him. You'll find out who you are by revelation from Jesus Christ. He said it's a mystery. And you can't know it by education, by theology. It's a mystery that's been hidden since the foundation of the world. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Has God revealed these things? Now listen to what he said. Tell me, my brother. Tell me, my sister, when was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? He said, before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, before all of the Old Testament and on down there, there couldn't have been a manifestation.
Right.
It had to wait till this time.
Right.
And now all things has been brought, coming, shaping up to the headstone, to the manifestation of the Son of God coming back, and the Spirit of God coming into these men so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ, till it will join him and his church together. Brother Bram said it was this day. So we can't be looking off and say, well, someday here, you know, in the future, manifestate. No, he said this, the reason why these things are being revealed is because we're in that hour now of the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. And so we believe that.
Yeah.
It's a mystery that each one of us have to seek out. going, and it's going on right now. Amen. Brother Bram said that there is no condemnation to a believer. How many has ever heard Brother Bram talk about that?
Right?
How many knows that Romans chapter 8? There is now no condemnation. Then why do we walk around condemned so much?
Right.
Because we're not doing. It seems he smiles. Why do we walk in condemnation so much? Because the Bible says there is no condemnation to us. I'm gonna read you a quote, and I want you to listen to what Brother Bram was saying. It's in an option also. He says, always in the presence of God is that bloody sacrifice. He said, now remember, we went through that this morning. You wasn't saved by the blood, you're kept saved by the blood, but you're saved by grace through faith, believing it. God knocked at your heart because he predestinated you. You looked up and believed it and accepted it.
Amen.
That's why.
Amen.
Right? He said, now the blood makes an atonement for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
Praise God. He said, remember I said, God does not condemn a sinner for sinning. This is, you have to think about this for a little bit. God does not condemn a sinner for sinning. He's condemned because he's a sinner.
Yeah.
Right? But God condemns a Christian who sins. And so let me go ahead and read it. He says, God does not condemn a sinner for sinning. He's a sinner to begin with. He condemns a Christian for sinning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Christians are the ones who sin. But sinners, that's who they are.
Right.
Right? In other words, think about it. That's their nature. That's just who they are. They're condemned because that's the nature they have.
Yeah.
But a Christian, he's got a different nature.
Right.
But if he does something wrong, if he sins, right? And so, and God doesn't want you to do that, so he said he condemns a Christian for sinning. But listen to this. And then because he has condemned him, in other words, when you do something wrong, said, and then because he condemns him, Christ took our condemnation. So there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Isn't that awesome? No condemnation. I read this. I'm going to finish now. I read this last quote. I read this the other day. As these things are happening, we've got to get on board with it.
Mm-hmm.
This message has got to become number one.
Amen.
In our life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if we don't, then we'll not have the full benefits of what it is.
Right.
And Brother Branham, in same one, he says, what bothers me, I read this the other day, to preach to you people, don't remain on in the same condition you've been going in. Change now. Hear me as I say it, thus saith the Lord. It'll take perfect love to put you in that place, for that's all that was there. No matter how much religious demonstrations, how many good deeds you've done, or whatever you've done, it won't count nothing on that day. It'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, you lay aside everything else until you're so filled with the love of God till you can love those who hate you.
Mm-hmm.
Why? This is me. Why? Because he did.
Amen.
He did, right? And we're growing up into him.
Amen.
So you realize all this, all these things, all these revelations, all this stuff we're talking about, it all winds up into Christ.
Amen.
And the love of God that was in him, that so much love in him that he could walk up Calvary for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to come to that place where we can look at other people and love them.
Right.
That way.
Mm-hmm.
And brother, sister, I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to get to the place where these things don't bother us. We just have that nature and that character in our lives. And so we realize that. The scripture said in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he gathered together in one all things in Christ Jesus, both in heaven and earth. And in earth.
Right? Yeah.
So as I've said before, as he dispensed out all the seven ages, at the end of the seven ages, now time is dispensed out. Now he's going to take it. He's going to grab all those that have gone on and all those that are in earth, and he's going to have a rapture.
Right.
We were to alive and remain. And so he's going to gather together and want all things in Christ Jesus. And this message is doing that. This message is not just to this dimension. This message is also to those others over there, calling them in a rapture, a resurrection. And so in the dispensation of the fullness of time, and I ask you, where did it say in the Bible, time shall be no more? Revelations 10, 7. So it's already going on. It's already happening. The gathering is going on right now. As I said a while ago, all that God was, he poured into Christ, right? And all that Christ was, he poured into his church. And here at the end time, there's a bride who raises up that is the full manifestation of everything that was in God, that went into Christ and Christ into his church. Now there's a bride here that comes up, and she will call those out of the grave by being manifested. And so I ask you, knowing that God was in Christ, Christ in his church, where's God now, tonight? Where is God today? In his bride. In his people. In Ron Spencer. In Ray and Daniel Black. Sister Vicky, my wife. Sister Hannah. The Lanes, the Wheelers. Where's God? He's in his people. Right? Amen. You understand what I'm saying? That's where he is. You pack deity in you. Brother, when you go to work and you work down there with all them ungodly people, you got Christ in you. Right? You have light. They can't darken that light. You don't let the devil speak things to you. You cast him away. Keep that word. Right? And God will be a light through you, and you'll help others. That's the way it is. It's a warfare. But just always remember that. God lives in the heart of his people. And we have come to a time where he wants to manifest himself fully. Will it revive the whole world? Probably not. We know that. But it'll reach those it's supposed to.
Amen.
We believe that with all of our hearts. And so the Father lives in the Son. Right? That's the whole concept. That the Son becomes so mature and so much just like the Father that the Father puts all the confidence and trust in him, knowing that he can let him have the authority that he wants him to have. Amen. That's all in the hands and the control of the Father. But Brother Ram tells us, you know, that in adoption that the Father has a tutor. And gets the Son to the place. Amen. And so we just appreciate these things. Let's just bow our hearts to the Lord. Lord, we just want to tell you that we love you. Meaning to keep your people long tonight, but we just ask God now that you just be with them. Let these words become life, Lord, to them. That each one of us would be stirred in our heart and in our experience, and Lord, we'd learn how to take this ground that belongs to us. Lord, that I believe as I have listened to different ones around the world, just kind of tuning in to see what some are saying, they're all saying the same thing, Lord, that they want this quickening power. And so, Lord, we realize we've got a wonderful message. But, Lord, we need you to set it afire, set it aflame, that you'd manifest, Lord, this one last time, this last voice, final voice to the final age. So we ask, God, that you just keep moving, working with your people, working for your gospel. We know that you'll finish these things as you promised. So we trust you, Lord, commit it to you, and ask it in Jesus' name. Ask somebody's bedtime. I think about it. I was telling somebody at work yesterday, you know, or the other day, he and he alone. You know, we were reading about, I think, St. Martin, and the devil came to him and said, he had a crown, you know, and said, worship me. Don't you know me? Worship me. I was telling somebody about this yesterday. at work, worship me. And Martin was looking, he's like, oh, this don't seem right, you know. And after a little bit, he said, Satan, get behind me. Because you got a crown on your head, and we crown him at the end of the ages.
Right.
I've been thinking about that crowning. You know why we crown him? Because anything that we have in us that of success, it was him that did it.
Amen.
It all belongs to him.
Amen.
And we'll happily cast our crowns at his feet.
Amen.
So, brother, sister, if that's what I told this person yesterday. If that's the way it is there, how should we start acting now? It all belongs to you. Amen.
You deserve the glory.
For us there'll be a meeting.
see.